because it just was a pain. It was more of a pain than it was a help. And to have to just get through all the conversations, and I was like, I have enough conversations with these people in my house. And I don't like overwhelmed, and I don't like to play because it steals, and it hurts people. And so for years, we haven't played. It's sort of like, no, you think you have to be in that group in order to be okay? You don't, and we're not playing. We're not listening to that until we still don't, but it really hurt one of my kids when she was a freshman, when one of her friends dramatically did something and it changed their whole family's life forever because she was so overwhelmed by everything that was going on, she just couldn't do it anymore. And it was like, no, this is bad and it's hurting everybody. And it doesn't have to. It's like, if we're gonna be overwhelmed by something, why in the world would we let stress and pressures and circumstances do that? Because we can be overwhelmed by truth with the capital T, okay? Truth, God's truth that is completely counter to the messages that the world is telling us that you have to do or be in order to be okay. And so that's what this new book is about that's coming out in August, and it's called Not the Boss of Us, because I've told my kids for years, this stuff is not the boss of you. And even have embarrassed them and myself as I yelled it out of the car door, this is not the boss of you! And they're like, and I think we're gonna be in counseling forever, like genuinely forever. So in the whole scheme of thing, it's like, can we take and call out the things that overwhelm us? And so one of those is what I call the wannabes. And it's like, I wanna be in order to be. And so there's a few that we're gonna talk about. The first one is fame. When in the United Kingdom, they did a study and went and researched in elementary schools with children and asked them the simple question, what would you like to be when you grow up? If someone asked you that when you were a kid, what would you have said? Anybody willing? A fireman, a policeman, what else? A teacher, anything else? An astronaut. Remember when we were kids? That was so huge because we got to watch it in school. And it was amazing just to be able to see that and the dreams that would come with that. It was like these new horizons, and we would sit there in our classrooms and dream of what we could be. Well, when they asked these kids, do you want to know what 80% of them responded? Celebrity, to be famous, quote, to be famous, which is a dangerous thing to bank your self-worth and identity on, because that's not a profession, it's not doing anything, it's being something, and that something is incredibly fickle, okay? But it hits the core of issues that we have as a human being, and that is one that is the need to be known. Because we humans, it's in you. It's the need to be known. And so for a kid, they're like, oh my gosh, if I can be famous, then I'm known and then everything's okay. But the truth of the matter is fame changes. When I was a girl, I'm just gonna tell you, I might've had a poster of David Cassidy on my closet. I had a huge crush on David Cassidy because he was who's famous at that point, you know? And that's not the case today because my kids wouldn't even know who the Partridge Family is, even though I make them still listen to the Partridge Family because it's still good. I mean, it was good then, and it's still good now. And even for my children, like, you know, One Direction was huge when my daughters were younger. In fact, we have a cutout of one of the One Direction guys because I gave her that for Christmas because she loved One Direction. And that cutout, oh my gosh, she's so mean to me. She's known for putting fake roaches around the house because they scare the living daylights out of me. And then she would put the cutout in my shower. And so I'd walk in and be like, you know, there's some man in my shower. Or at the front door, one time John and I came in and he was standing at the front door and all you could see was the silhouette behind. I know, it's so creepy and terrible. That dude is still in her closet and it is so coming to haunt her. She has no idea where that thing's gonna show up. But even now, like my younger children wouldn't know who One Direction really is because fame changes. What a shame to bank your self-worth. That's pretty precious something to give over to something like fame. The next one is the pressures to fit in. And I know that we experience that. We experience that as adults. And you know your kids experience it constantly, especially when big change happens, like changing schools. It's like, if I fit in, then I'm okay. And that is the internal need to be accepted, okay? And when we give it to something that's of the world, again, you're giving away something precious. And it's fickle, because it too will change. The acting, the doing, the being. Because if I do this, then I'm okay. And that's the need to be loved, because it makes me accepted. And the pressures are intense. And I don't know, it seems really intense where we live. And maybe we are like in the epicenter of it, I don't know, but it's actually everywhere. And the mindfulness trend is a part of this. And we've heard, like, the mindfulness trend is huge right now. And it will say, you know, just get your mind calm or do these kinds of things. But at core inside the mindfulness trend is what's in your head. And mindsight is not 2020, okay? It's just not. Again, you could have experienced it this morning. My daughters came down in an outfit that I'd never seen a couple of weeks ago, and I said the simple words, where did you get that outfit? Which was a problem, because she looked at me and she was like, I know you think I'm fat, and then ran up into her room and was crying. And I was sort of like, all I did was ask, where did you get the outfit? Because I hadn't seen the outfit before, but I had no idea what was going on in her head, because that whole time before coming downstairs, she had tried on about 15 outfits, put them on, put them off, put them on, put them off. And so by the time she came down, she was incredibly sensitive and heard words that had not come out of my mouth, because I don't think she's fat, but in her mind, she was thinking she was fat, and there was an enormous disconnect. A friend of mine was in town recently, she stays with us. She's from Austin. And she pulled out a box of cereal. Here's another mindsight thing. And I asked her, was the cereal box open? And she just looked at me and she was like, ugh. And I was like, what did you think I just said? And she said, I thought you said that I couldn't open a new box of cereal, that I had to eat one that was open. And I was like, I was only asking because there was a roach in the thing, you know, in the closet last night, and I was afraid you might open that box and there could be a roach in it, you know. And it was like, this entire conversation occurs in your mind that really has nothing to do with what's actually going on, and it's powerful. And that one, you've got to, like, know it and lean into it when your kids are, especially in those tween teen years, because they hear a lot of stuff that is never said. And to be able to get to the portion where you're communicating with actual real messages is huge. Is it coming on? Yay! All right, so we're on the next slide. Oh, this, I was going to do this with y'all because I think this is hilarious. How much time do we have? Okay, so this is my May Madness. It's like a March Madness bracket, but I felt like for y'all we would do May Madness. And so, because this is the crazy chaos that we live in. And so I just, at this time of the year, we have all these players, everyone's at play, the orthodontist, you know, versus the teacher's gifts. And we know for sure who's gonna win that one, the teacher's gifts. Our poor orthodontist, I don't know even why they ask us back, because we never show up for our, for our appointments. It's pathetic. And then we have, in the next one, celebrate kids with summer birthdays. Who has kids with summer birthdays? I mean, they totally are dissed, aren't they? And then and the very well-meaning people are like, let's celebrate them all in May. And so they're all the same week. And then everybody's piling in there with cookies and stuff. And so that's like intense and stressful. Or lunch with friends. And you know what? We are pulling for lunch with friends this year, because it should win, you know? And then the pedicure, I'm just saying, and this really one is for girls, but I mean, the pedicure, you've got to diss it, because it's not going to win over the end of the year slideshow. That must be done. Graduation gifts for those, I mean, that one's a big one, versus the athletic banquet. I mean, how many athletic banquets do we go to? Like 15? And it's incessant. And you've got to go, because if you're not there, every other parent is there, except me. I'm your missionary parent. I'm your missionary dresser. I'm your missionary college application person, because we will set the bar so low that it will make you feel very, very good about yourselves. Because we have had one apply to college with a donut in the activity level, like zero, blank, no box was checked, as with any athletic prowess or anything. I mean, it was hilarious. And he did get into college, woo-woo, because you can. Camp shopping, yeah. Camp shopping has already started. In fact, some camps, your trunk needs to be there today. So Swimsuit shopping, that for sure is being dissed, because who wants to do it? I mean, really, the one from 5 years ago, since you still haven't been swimsuit shopping, still fits. Summer signups, because again, they're today. You have to do those now. And that's for sure something you don't want to be in the summer with no summer signups, with everybody else doing everything, but you're not, because your kid, because you're too stressed out and there's too much stuff. So how do you even remember the signup? Versus Mother's Day, and we know who wins that one, because we can't do it. Plant flowers versus school projects. Well, I will tell you that in our house, school projects is winning, because I still have on our back gate the Christmas wreath, and I'm telling you, it doesn't look good. It is very brown and very bad, but the red bow is now marinating with the brown that's turning red with the red bow. The costumes and all of the stuff that comes with the end of year performances, which just the other day, I had one come to me, of course, the night before, saying, I need to be, and it's like, I need to be a gladiator tomorrow. And you're going, a gladiator? How am I getting a gladiator out of this closet? Versus the dentist, and we know the dentist is gonna be punted for another day. And so we go, hoping to that final four of all the May crazies. And that's where we sit. So we go to the next one, and here we have the wannabes, the mindfulness trends, the fame, the pressure, the acting, the doing. And the truth of the matter is, we are all just a flesh wound away from middle school insecurities, wouldn't you say? So now we're going to move into the identity defined by the world versus identity defined by God, all right? And, oh, can we go two more? Oh, I've got it. Sorry. Hilarious. I'm professional, really. And this is where I really want to land. Rather than be overwhelmed by, okay? So first we're starting with the rather than be overwhelmed by the you're only okay ifs. Identity in our culture is defined by different things, all right? By group is a huge one. One of our kids moved from eighth grade to a freshman, and he was at Providence going into the high school, the Highland Park High School. And someone had said to him, you know, the lunchroom is huge. Like, it's incredibly stressful. And he said, I need to make the soccer team. And I was like, okay, try out for soccer, that's great. And he was like, actually, it's football, but I can do soccer, because if I don't do that, I won't have a place to sit in the cafeteria. And I was sort of like, who told you that? Have y'all heard that? I mean, are you nodding yes? Because it is actually so true. And I was like, okay, in this world, you can be in a group, but the group does not have to define you as a human being. Because guess what? There's lots of people to sit with in the cafeteria. You don't have to scout it out beforehand. And I was like, if you try out for the soccer team, happy day. I hope you like it. If you want to do cross country, I hope that works for you. And so he tried. He tried. The cross country was too intense for him. And then he went to the soccer, and it was a little too intense for him. And then he was like, maybe I'll swim. So he joins the swim team, because we spend a lot of time talking about your identity is not defined by the group. Because let me tell you something, if you put your identity in the group, it's a dangerous thing, because the groups change. Okay? And so, on that fateful day of the first day of school, as he went into the cafeteria, and I was like, please let there be a spot for him, because I don't even know if all this is true. You know, it's like, it's gotta be true. And so he didn't have any friends in that particular lunchtime that he was in. And my daughter is a junior at the school, and her best friend was in the same lunch as this kid. And so at the end of the week, she asked him, she was like, who's Brock sitting with? And she goes, a group of senior chess players. That freshman had gone in and sat at a table with seniors and just sat. And he was so happy because the people were nice to him. And I was like, people are nice. People are nice. People really actually are nice. And it's like, go find someone to sit with anywhere you go, because the group is okay, but if it defines who you are, you have so much more worth than that. By performance, we're huge on that. Are we AP? Are we honor? Are we 4.0? What are you in the top 10 or whatever it is? That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. That's a lot of pressure for us too, because you could do it in your own life, taking it back. And if you calculate and link on your self-worth and identity to the way you perform, there's a small problem in that too, because sometimes it's going to be good and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you're going to make a lot of money and sometimes you're not going to make a lot of money. It's just making money. It's just getting grades. Sometimes they're good at some stuff and they're not good at another. And by the way, it's okay. We define ourselves by our zip code. We know that in Dallas, in our community, you're defined by what block you live on, which is interesting. By profession, I am a nurse, or I am a teacher, or I am a banker. You're so much more than that. By looks, that's a huge one. And we do it so much where we live, and it's so interesting because all the look stuff changes through the decades. You can go look at body type through the decades, and it's fascinating because it's different every single decade. Are we really going to bank on that? And let us only be okay if I look a certain way. I'm only okay if I'm a certain size. I'm only away, and it could be the region of the world. In another region of the world, it's only okay if I have big eyes versus small eyes. In Japan, it was you were only okay if your foot size was small. And if your foot size was large, then you were an outcast in society. And they did a lot to bind people's feet so that they could have a small foot size, which we would be like, that's ridiculous. But they would be here going, it's a lip size. Who cares? You know, in certain places, it's how big your you know, they'll call it the badonkadonk, which is your rear end. And women do a lot to make their rear end a certain size because that was the cool thing probably 5 years ago in different areas. And it's just fascinating how much we give over to that. The next one is brand you. Oh man, the resume race is huge. And for me, my girls are kind of in that college level. I get a lot of sorority rec, letters. Will you write a sorority rec letter? And you can get these letters, the whole resume from a person, and it's like 8 pages long for an 18-year-old. And it's like, how do they do that? Like, and I sit there and go, my child will have a 1.5 page, all of them, you know, because God bless them. I do feel sorry for them sometimes. But it's like, and then the pressure when you see all of this stuff that you have to do in order to get in or in order to be with the, and it's like, how can we even fit that into the schedule that's already so busy we can't even do anything? The more is better for sure. What we value. For kids, they value fame. In Washington, when I lived in D.C., I worked at the George Herbert Walker Bush White House. I was in that administration. And when I lived in D.C., it was power. It was who you knew. In New York City, it's money. You know, and where you live in that town. In the Northeast, it's education. And you're okay if you're Ivy League. And if you're not Ivy League, then you may be okay, but the jury's out. In the Northwest, it's green, okay? Like, how green are you? And it's interesting, because in culture today, you know what I mean, and we're not green here, I don't think, but maybe we're moving that way. In culture, identity is achieved rather than received, which just think about that for a minute. It's achieved rather than received, which is a lot different than the identity that you get through God, because it is something that is given to you. It's not something you achieve. And by the way, that's the truth with a capital T. And that's worth spending a lot of time thinking about and believing and marinating in, believing it about yourself so that your kid next to you can believe it too about themselves. Because the world's splendor is brutal. It is always searching for enough. And the problem with enough is that it never is. Okay, the next one. So, identity by God's standard. And I'm sorry, I have to read this. Can I grab my bag, Lucy? I'm so sorry, because my computer just died. Woo-woo, told ya. then I won't be like, Okay, so, rather than be overwhelmed by the I'm only okay ifs, be overwhelmed by gifts and purposes. Okay, the thing about gifts and purposes is that every single person has it. Every single person has a gift. Thank you so much. And has purpose. And by the way, do you know that every single person, and I know you know this, but it's hard to believe that it's true, but every person in this room has a different fingerprint, which is almost too much to imagine that every human being has a different fingerprint. In the same way, every human being has unique gifting and purposes that was ordained for them before they were born. You do, your kids do. okay, which is pretty fascinating. Bill Hendricks is the son of Howard Hendricks, who was a very well-known professor at DTS. He and his sister started a really neat thing here in Dallas called the Giftedness Center, okay? And this is from him, the presence of presence. Giftedness is the unique way in which you, as a human being, function. It's the inborn core strengths and natural motivation you instinctively and consistently use to do things that you find satisfying and productive. Your giftedness is not just what you can do, but what you were born to do, enjoy doing, and do well. Like every person. And the gifts that are celebrated throughout time, it changes what's celebrated. Like today, it's STEAM. Like a couple of years ago, it was STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, but they added A for the arts recently. So now it's STEAM. So if you're artsy, you're added into the cool giftedness. But it's just who you are as a person. If your kid falls within that, if you fall within that, that's wonderful. 30 years ago, that's not what was celebrated, okay? Because what's celebrated in the world comes and goes. Your giftedness and your purposefulness is always in you, and it's always in your kid. And it's like, can we believe that for a minute and buy into it and start celebrating what it is in each child that they have inside that they were born to do, okay? And that's a part of who they are. Where would we be without them? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:20. Everyone is gifted. Some people just don't open their packages. And as parents, I think part of our job is to be able to help them discover who they are in their giftedness. Does that make sense? Okay. So, rather than be all overwhelmed by the I'm only okay ifs, for a second be overwhelmed by this. Because this is huge. And this stuff is with you forever. There are words in Romans that are so beautiful that say, all things are by him, through him, and for him. Which means this giftedness and purpose is him through you. And through your children. And that is so significant because they're his gifting that are a gift and a present to you. And you using them is like the essence of intimacy because you cannot do it without him at play. And that's like this versus us struggling on the treadmill to get nowhere. The next one. Here we go. Identity defined by the world. Rather than be overwhelmed by, you're not okay because. You're not okay because your kid is struggling. We have a weird thing here where we've decided that whether our child is doing well or doing poorly is a reflection on us as a person. And by the way, it's not. Part of being a human on this planet is struggling. Part of being a human on this planet is doing well. And sadly, the Lord tends to work in 7 to 40-year increments. So whatever you're going through, it may last for a while. But that doesn't define you, and it doesn't define them. So much of the struggling, the strength comes through the struggle, okay? So don't believe it, that you're not okay if someone's struggling. You lean into it and trust the one who says, I am there. Trust the one whose name is Jehovah Jireh, which means provider. He goes before, he goes behind, he's above, below. He, in the same way he was the cloud during the day and the fire at night for Moses, he is the same today. It looks different because he can't change. I am the same today, forever, and always, says the Lord. The second, you're not okay because you weren't invited. You're not okay because your kid wasn't invited. I think prom is coming up, which can be a little bit stressful for those that are dealing with it. Are you in the bus or out of the bus? Are you in the group or out of the group? And then somehow we let that define us, and then we get a little uneasy with the whole group thing, and then as soon as we're included, we're like, oh, thank God, we're all right. And then you breathe and feel sorry for the people that aren't included. You're not okay because you were passed over for the promotion. You're not okay because your kid is passed over for the team or the position or the role. Or your calendar is too empty. Or your calendar is too full. Or you feel alone. or your kid is alone, or unexpected life twists and turns have happened, or sickness or death, not only physical, but relationship, or fill in the blank. And by relationship, I was with one of my kids at orientation at Baylor, and we were in the part of the orientation where you pay. And so that room was a teensy bit stressful. And there was a family that was in front of us in line, and I'm with my daughter, and this family gets in this terrible fight, like in front of everybody. And it ends with them gruffing at each other and literally walking away and not speaking. And I turned to my daughter, and I was like, that right there is relationship brokenness and relationship death. And it felt bad for us. Like, everyone around us, we were like, oh, because relationship isn't meant to be broken. It's meant to be together. And that's why I think it hurts so bad. It's like death. We were not created for that. We're created for together. And that's why I think it hurts so bad. And so it doesn't get to win, because we just celebrated the most beautiful holiday, and that is Easter, when he said the words on the cross, it is finished. It's done. He has defeated death, which means he has even defeated broken relationship. Do we believe it? Can we lean into that and be overwhelmed by something we don't really understand, but bank on it? Because that's the truth. Identity defined by God, be overwhelmed by it. You're okay. You do belong. You are known, and you are loved. How do we know that? Here we go. Because do we know whose we are? Do you know whose you are? Like, forget about who you are and who we have to strive to be. Do you know whose you are? Because if you know whose you are, then you'll spill out over to the people next to you that really need to know whose they are too. Isaiah 60, and this is God speaking. They are the splendor. No, they are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor, which goes back to the gifts and the purposes for the display of his splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. We get so enamored by numbers and big, and it's fascinating. He chooses the small. He chooses the one that's not seen. He said to Israel, I didn't choose you because you were mighty and great. I chose you because you were the least. Do you remember David? Here goes Samuel. He tells Samuel, the Lord says to Samuel, go and anoint the king. I will show you who he is. And he shows up at the house and goes through each strapping, good-looking warrior brother, and then looks at the dad and says, is there anyone else? Because it wasn't any of them. And it's the ruddy kid out in the back tending for the sheep that is the one that was chosen. And the Lord said to Isaiah, to Samuel, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the inside. I look at the heart. What a cool thing to tell your kid when they feel overlooked, or when they feel like they have to be in order to be okay. It's like God's economy does not work like that. The second one, Jeremiah 32, I am the Lord. Who's speaking? God is. He kind of knows what's going on here. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? I sometimes can sit. We have one of our kids is heart hurt, like hurt on the inside, and it is hard to get at that. And I can't tell you how I bank on this. Is anything too hard for you? No. So I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to rest in you, and we're going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I'm going to trust you, because what is too hard for me, what has been too hard for so many people, professionals included, I know is not too hard for you. Because he says it. I am the Lord, he says. And I think we have to believe it. How are we known? We are known by his name, okay? And this in Revelation is one of the coolest things, because I did not know this until recently, and I hope it surprises you as it did to me too. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious. And it's not us being victorious. We're victorious through his victory, okay? I will give some of the hidden manna. And the hidden manna is beautiful. Think about that one, too, because he's a manna provider. When they were in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, manna came, and it completely provided perfect provision for every single one of those people for 40 years, every single day, day in, day out, no more, no less. And there were all different ages with different dietary requirements during those 40 years. How did that happen? Like, you had gluten-free for sure then, you know? And so how did the gluten-free work? And what if I had a sugar craving? Did the manna take care of that too? I don't know. But we know that they walked out of that completely healthy and that their shoes never wore out. What? How does that even happen? Because that's the God that you know, who knows you. And here's what's so cool. I will give them some of the hidden manna. It's so beautiful. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Do you know how precious you are? He has a name that is your name, that you don't even know, but he knows, and it's yours, and no one will know it except for you and him. And if that doesn't give you chills, I don't know. And I say that to my kids, you don't realize how precious you are. Please don't ever lie about anything. I had this conversation the other day after one of them told me he brushed his teeth when he didn't. And I'm like, because he didn't. And I was like, why would you lie over that? You know, because you're like giving away something that's so precious over something that's so ridiculous so that you might not have to brush your teeth, you know? And let me say, it goes further than that, and we all know it. It is not worth it. Fitting into a peer group because blah, 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 I'm going to change who I am so that I fit in. Don't do it. You have so much worth. You are so precious. So precious. The next one, Jeremiah 29, which I think we know, but we should think about. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you honor and a future. Then you will call on me and pray out to me, pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Because he makes himself available to be found. What's our role? What's our role? To seek him with all our heart. Seek him. When we seek the things of the world, it makes us focus on ourselves a lot, okay? Because I have to do in order to be. When we seek him with all our heart, it switches the whole thing. And it changes from achievement to receiving, and it's through the receiving that we do. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. But now, this is what the Lord says. Do you see how common it is who's talking here? God. He who formed you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I told that to one of my kids once, and I was like, you can't scrape it off. Like, you're his. It's sort of like, I know we've all seen Toy Story, you know, Andy on the bottom of his boot, and when Woody leaves, you know, the guy paints over Andy, but is Andy still there? Yes, you could not get rid of it. And I just like, you're his. When you pass through the waters, because we do, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not burn. And by the way, BTW, you won't even smell like smoke. Could it be true? Could that be true? There were three guys that did it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, where people that even went close to it were completely burned and killed when they came close to it. Those boys walked out not even smelling like smoke. Because that's who God is. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, I am with you. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, because I love you. He says that. I was thinking it this morning. That's so beautiful. Dare you even believe that someone could say to you, you are precious. You are honored in my sight. I love you. Let alone the Lord God, Most High, Creator over all things. So, let's think about helicopter parenting. Okay? We're going to do a little new twist on it. Rather than hover to control, which is a small problem, I might have written a different book on that. This one, we're going to use it to offer perspective. Okay, so before we go here, do you believe that you're precious? Do you believe that you're loved? Do you know whose you are? And if you do, then put on different glasses and help the people next to you to put on some different glasses. I don't have my glasses, but I'm guessing a lot of you do. Mine involve being able to read, but to put on the glasses to see differently, okay? There's a thing that we call in our house the glimpse, and it's like the thing that you just see. And our kids are so involved in this thing that shows a lot of pictures, but we know that the picture is just a picture of a moment. It's only the moment. You never get to see everything that's going on behind it, okay? It's a glimpse. It's a pic. And so it's like, fight for the truth. That's just a picture. We know there's tons more going on behind it. We recently, like one of my kids, I'm just going to say, no one in this room, though you might be my friend, has gotten a Christmas card from us in a couple of years. I have them all. I just haven't mailed them. I mean, even about, you know, all last year's are addressed, and I don't know what my problem is. But this year when it came and I saw one of my daughters walked up and they were like, mm-hmm, that. And it's this real cute picture of our whole family. And because my mother, God bless her, she is so sweet. And she does a Valentine every year and has done it for about 25 years. And so a lot has changed in our family. There are 15 grandchildren, and then I have four in my family. And my mom still decides what we're going to wear, and we put it on. Wish we did this year. And it's sort of a fight to see who gets to have an opinion on what is worn. And so I'm just going to out myself. I might have had a little bit of a, you know, I chose the shirt. I didn't choose the color of the girl's shirt, but I chose the shirt. But I didn't realize that when you wore it, it kind of looked like you were wearing a saggy diaper. And so we had on these bright red, the girls had on bright red shirts that kind of hung down, and it was very unattractive. And then for the boys, I was at Costco, and I found these cool, like, plaid shirts, but I didn't know that guys' shirts, like, came short. And so, because it was a no-tuck shirt or something like that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that existed. And so all these guys, all the guys are in these brown and black plaid no-tuck shirts, and which, again, worked on some and not on others. And so even the photographer is like, hey, lumberjacks over here, fire hydrants over here, and we're doing this. And there were tears. There was crabbiness. There were wayward children that went and got into the, like, ducks. It was the biggest mess, and it was not a happy day. But the picture makes it look like it was a really happy day. And my daughter was like, I can't believe you're sending that out. That so does not look like what happened that day. And it's so true, because it's just a picture. And so the different glasses allow you to see the picture, but go a lot further to see behind the picture. It's the same with whatever is going on. If you take a piece of paper, I'm just going to do this for y'all. If I look through it and I wave my hand, I can see you all, and I can't see my hand waving, because all I can see is right here. Does it matter whether I can see it or not, whether my hand is waving? It's there. There's more going on than what I can see. It's so helpful for us to know that, and even for your kids to know that. You can't see it all. There's more going on. Others, it's not about having a gazillion friends. It's about being a friend. Because if you are the friend, then your eyes just might not be on yourself versus having the number of friends define us, or versus being included in that girl's trip out or the couple's trip over here, because you're going to see the picture of the people at the beach as couples, and you may or may not be in that picture, but for some reason we let it define us if we're not in it. And I don't know what our problem is. It's all social media's fault, apparently. Wheel of Fortune, letter changes. My kids tend to hear best as something they have to be, like the best. And they hear it throughout school all the time. You have to be the best. You have to be the best. You have to be the best lacrosse player. You have to be the best soccer player. You have to be the best whatever it is. But if you can just add an I and an R to the end of it, it really it'll deflate the and make it their best instead of the best. And no one's asking for more than that, really and truly. If you can take, comparison is a brutal tool that is used, because we get unsettled when we see everything that's going on over here. And if you can take comparison and take out the R and the I and add the S and the S, you get compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N. So that when your kid is hit with the question, what did you make on that test? because they get hit with that all the time. And they, you know, the person usually asking that question is the one that made a 98 on it. And they're like, oh, I made a 98. It was just terrible, you know? And my kids will be like, if only I could get the 98. And it's like, rather than have that hurt you, instead go to the compassion portion. And it's like, if the kid is asking, what did you make on that test? Do you think grades are important to that kid? Yes. If the parent is saying to you, did you get on this certain team? And it's like, well, yes, I did. No, I didn't. Do you think that getting on that team is important to that parent? And it's like, come alongside with compassion to be able to say, it's all okay whether you make the team or don't make the team. It's all okay whether you make the grade or don't make the grade. Do your best. And walk it together instead of walking against each other. Because it's huge to find compassion in those moments. When you're unsettled in any of that stuff, fight for the compassion. Because it can be hard. Did they get in the sorority or not in the sorority? Did they get into the college they wanted to, or did they not get into the college they want to? Did you get the teacher that you wanted or not the teacher that you... I mean, it's just incessant. Hit the compassion. Let's keep reinforce each other and hydrate today. Like, practice hydrating, because, and by hydrating, there are things that you can do so that when you hit the stuff that's hard, you're already like hydrated, so you're not dying of thirst in the middle of it. I've heard from athletes, I am not one, that if you're in a marathon and you're thirsty in the middle of it, there's a small problem, because you drinking then isn't going to hydrate you as well as if you had hydrated beforehand. So, things in life we can do to hydrate so that when we hit these overwhelmed things, we're completely hydrated and we can help the people walking alongside us. So here we go. Here are a few. Okay? When we forget or get bogged down, take a sip of water. Practice kindness. Okay? In every situation, especially those laced with unnecessary rudeness, like the lady that totally honked at me outside of Trader Joe's yesterday, and it wasn't like, beep, beep, and I wasn't even in front of her, and it was like, and I was on the phone with somebody, I was like, did you just hear that? And I was like, I'm going to choose to think happy thoughts about that person, because it was so rude, and I was sort of like, this is Dallas, why do we honk? We're not honky people, but I guess maybe we are. There are people on the other side of whatever rudeness is going on, and it's highly likely that something's not going well in their day to make them do that, all right? And that's the truth. It's true for your kid, too, when they get in and it's just that unbelievable rudeness, or when you're doing it to your child. It's like, this stuff is going on and it's stressing me out. I am so sorry. So regardless of what someone dishes out, return a gentle response, okay? Number two, get perspective. In the midst of life's mad dash, recognize that there is sacred in the ordinary, okay? Here's what I mean by that. I had my youngest the other day ask me if I would walk to him to the park because he just wanted to, like, go explore. That's his new thing. And I had just sat down, and I'm just telling you, it had been a long day, and I was like, no, I'm not going to walk with you to the park. And I was like, yes, I will walk with him to the park because I know how fast time goes. But I did not have a happy heart. I'm just saying, I begrudgingly got up and walked with him to the park. And on the way, and this kid is 10, we're walking, and out of the sky is just like, it was cloudy, and there was one like ray of sunshine that came down on the grass. I mean, this is hilarious, but it's true. And on this little blade of grass was a butterfly. And I'm like, and he just stops and stares at it. And I'm just sitting there going, that is so beautiful. And so it doesn't take much to let that sacred moment, which, let me tell you, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Yesterday morning, I was driving to Chick-fil-A, and through the sky, it's a, because, you know, yesterday was so weird, and the clouds were like this, and the sun was behind it, and you could see the rays going up and the rays going down. And let me tell you, if that doesn't inform your life, because there are clouds, there are things that happen, but the sun is always shining. And I turned to the kid next to me who has some hard stuff, and I'm like, it's always there, it's always shining, it never ever stops, whether it's day or night, the sun is always shining. And that is sacred in the ordinary, and you relish it, and relish regular. And don't forget to live today in the race for tomorrow, because something extraordinary could happen today, and you sure don't want to miss it. Forget FOMO, fear of missing out. It's a colossal waste of time. Don't do it. Don't do it. Like, just don't do it. Kick it out. Practice thankfulness, because you can always practice thankfulness. There is always something to be thankful for, and it is one of the most powerful perspective tools that there are, to be able to call it out. And then when you're tempted by life stuff, you'll be real hydrated and trained to focus with gratitude on all we already have rather than on what we could, would, or should have. It's huge. And look up, for goodness sake. Just look up. It gets your eyes off of whatever is freaking you out, okay? So, and it is so helpful to have the people around you to remind each other. And it's like, just look up. Just, you know, get your eyes off of whatever it is for a minute and look up. Whatever is stealing your thoughts, look up. Yesterday, all I had to do was look up and see the beautiful sky. But we can all do it. Looking up can turn our focus away from the hectic toward perspective and maybe slow things down a bit and bring some sanity. Slowing down, even in traffic. Okay, we're going to try. Are we over at 10:30? All right, we're going to try. I want to show you a quick video. This is from Barry Black, who was the chaplain of, who is currently the chaplain of the Senate. If we can. It's the MP4 file that should go right here. Oh, I don't know if it'll work.
My mother motivated my siblings and me to study the Word of God. She provided us with a monetary incentive, 5 cents for every verse you memorized. So if you would enter our domicile, you would find my siblings and me searching the Word of God for short Bible verses. I know every short Bible verse in the book, okay? My favorite Bible verse is not John 3:16, it is John 11:35. Jesus wept. Powerful verse. I love Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Powerful verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 is a treasure trove. Quench not the spirit. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. Despise not prophesying. In fact, I was doing my riff on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and my mother put me on a flat rate. She said, hold it. I don't care how much you memorize, you're only going to get a quarter, okay? All right. But my mother knew what she was doing. One day, I memorized 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. I was only 10 years of age. It says, and we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And even at 10, I had sufficient analytical skills to know that the value of an object is based upon the price someone is willing to pay. And when it dawned on me, little guy in the inner city, that God sent what John 3 calls in the Greek the monogenes, the only one of its kind, his only begotten son, to die for me, no one was ever able to make me feel inferior again.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Can we go to the last slide? The oxygen mask. In the airplane, they always say, put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then the people around you. So, put the oxygen mask on and believe it. Your purpose. You are uniquely gifted. You have purpose. Your very special gift to love these kids like no one else can. It is not a mistake that these children are in your house, because you are uniquely gifted to be able to love them and to love each other. It's so hard to believe that, especially when we get overwhelmed. Helicopter by seeing the big picture instead of getting bogged down by the moments. And instead of being overwhelmed by life's pressures and stress and expectations and all the stuff, be overwhelmed by truth. with all its love and grace and peace and mercy and hope. Hope springs eternal. And then try to enjoy it, you know? Then really try to enjoy it, because I am going to tell you, it goes too fast. Don't give any of it away. Live today, not tomorrow, just today, knowing that your manna provider has got it covered. But do y'all have any questions? Yeah. Sure, I'll send it. Well, that's a very sweet question, because I sit here going, is this just terrible? And I don't need you to like say that that's a terrible question to ask. You know, it's sort of like now you feel like you have to say something nice. But I hope that for somebody, even hearing it, I'm encouraged personally, which I need to hear it. But this stuff is just stuff. You are children of the King, okay? Seriously. Hello, my name is. I've had my daughters put, and all of them, hello, my name is name tag, you know? My name is Kay Wima. I am a daughter of the King. And I have embarrassingly let that possibly out the window too to one of them. You are a child of the King, which is ridiculous and stupid. But it was a lot of stuff that he was dealing with that was stealing his thoughts. And I'm like, no. And when your thoughts aren't stolen, you can do something like go and sit at the table with seniors when you're a freshman and you're brand new at school. Because how can you do that? And that speaks more about the child being comfortable in his own skin than it does anything. It speaks about him not buying the message. And in not buying the message, I am telling you, I've heard mine traveling next to their friends and fighting for them. You do not have to go out and get drunk. You have so much more worth than that. I like you. You don't have to do anything for me to like you. You don't have to sell yourself out. Just last week, one of them, their friend failed a test, and she was next to her going and fighting for her, going, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? And the kid wouldn't say. And she was like, I'm here for you if you want to talk. And then she turns to her, I failed. And this is a kid that made a 1580 on the SAT. I mean, it was a fluke she failed. And my daughter's like, that grade does not define you. It does not define you. And then they fight. And then she starts laughing about it. And she's like, oh, I can take the makeup. And so it all went like, and disappeared. And they called it taboo talk. And they're like, we will talk taboo all the time. Taboo is the stuff you're not allowed to say because you're ashamed. And that they leaned into the shame, outed it, it made it disappear. It's so, so powerful. And as my child says it to that child, guess who gets to hear it? She does. Guess who gets to hear it every single time I say it to my kids? Me. Okay? Sorry. I really care about this stuff because I'm sad. I think it's like, why does it get power? I don't get it. Like, no. No. And I have friends in here who know I've lived through some stuff. Yes. Boy, that's a great question. I think one of the key things is that it's inborn and the things that they enjoy doing, which they gravitate towards that. Like, you'll start to see them do that just naturally, and it's likely that it won't fit into whatever they're supposed to be doing. A certain Latin teacher called me last week because one of my children is not doing very well, and when he was approached by her saying, why have you not studied, he said to her, because I have a lot on my plate. And I'm like, what does he have on his plate? Like, he's been at the park every afternoon, you know? And it was sort of funny because I was like, his stuff on his plate is being, in his mind, an adventurer and creating. And I watch him take Legos and do stuff with it that I'm like, why would you think of that? And I'm going, he's got in him somewhere, probably engineering. He sees spatially. And then comes the game. How do we like pour fertilizer on the gift, but have him still do the work in school because he has to do the work in school. And there comes the fine line, but and so it's eyes open, which I think is hard to do if we're racing around all the time. I think a huge part is slowing down It's hard to slow down. Yeah.
Do you see any value at all in any of the social media, in Snapchat and Instagram? And all
that? Any value at all? Yes, I actually do. And it wouldn't necessarily have anything to do with selfies or with friend group stuff. Okay, one of my daughters is very talented, which I would never have known because I'm not, in the kitchen. She's creative in the kitchen. And often she's looking at Instagram to see recipes and things like that. To me, that's like, there's something kind of good about that. She's learned so much about photography too that has been through sites of professional photographers. And I have another artist daughter that has learned a lot about, she loves collaging. And she will look at collage, not to compare herself to the artist, because we fight for that all the time. And it's not a comparison. They have their unique gifting. But she's learned a lot about how to do something she loves by looking at people that have learned a lot more than she has. If you go, even if you go in Europe to any of the museums, you will see people, you will see students sitting next to the master's work, literally doing it themselves, because they learned something about the brushstrokes from looking at Van Gogh's brushstrokes. And so if that's how you're engaging with it, it's like there's stuff that's okay, but can we do it is the biggest question. And I am always like, get off. If it's informing you about yourself, no. And quite frankly, me too. It's hard. It's the weirdest world. It is part of their world. Navigating that stuff, the thing that has helped the most with us navigating that environment is pouring real life human interaction into their days. Because real life human interaction feels so much better than this. And it is so easy to say, how did you feel? Like, when you're on this, how does it make you feel? Like, well, it makes everybody feel bad. Like, if my interaction with humans is on this, it feels bad. Versus interaction together, and it's a lot easier to go, how does it feel when you're together versus that in a moment that's not heated? And it's like they know it. And so we do ridiculous things even in our house, and we play board games all the time. I mean, there are things that are cool, that are actually fun, because Monopoly is not, in my book, I'm just saying. But there are fun things to do together, and the more you pour in human interaction, the better it feels. In our experience, the volume has been dialed down on the crippling aspect of social media and the words that come along with it. Talking to a human feels so much better than this. Talking to your friend feels so, and they know it. One of mine refused to have a cell phone until he was in high school and had to, because he hated being around his friends that were always on the phone, like sitting next to each other, and we've done it. They're texting each other when they're sitting by each other. And he'd be like, that is so dumb. And then we had to force him to get a cell phone, because he was like the champion of no cell phone, which was not our doing, because it would have been easier, quite frankly, because they kept putting my husband on the group text for eighth grade. And it was like, he's taking himself off, they're putting him back on. He's like, this is Mr. Wima, I'm out, you know, and they're putting him back on. And so, but it was fascinating to me, because people, this will always feel better than this. But there's stuff on it that's not sort of like television. Don't you remember when cable television came in? I remember it was like, oh, you know, the end of the world is here. And it's gross. Who even wants to watch TV anymore? I mean, I'm sure you like, it's like, let's stream it. It's a lot better. And we don't have to like be a victim to all the television-y stuff. Is that helpful? I am not an expert on that. Kathleen Fisher is better than me. So anything else? I have no problem talking, so I could talk forever. But thank you so much. And anyway, I really appreciate it. I'll send the slides. Is that it?